This coming Shabbos, the diaspora will have the opportunity to join together with the people of the State of Israel, our Jewish brethren, in combining ourselves to get up to the end of the book of Vayikra with the reading of Parshios Bahar and Bechukosai. So, of course, Parshios Bahar begins, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor, that Hashem spoke at Har Sinai. And Rashi notes that the reason why we mention the location is simply to let us know that the entirety of the rules, the klaleim v'dictusayim, were given at Har Sinai. Mori v'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita often would quote the Chazon Ish. It's in an awkward place. It's in Or HaChaim, because as far as Hilchos Shavuos are concerned, there isn't a tremendous amount there. But Rav Shechter would always point out to us that there is commentary, since Shavuos is Zman Matan Torasenu, there is a short commentary, a short essay of the Chazon Ish over there, which explains what happened at Har Sinai. And here the Chazon Ish explains that Rashi's answer is really only part of a full machlokes. That in truth, the Torah identifies three different aspects or three different opportunities of Matan Torah. There was a Matan Torah at Har Sinai, there was a Matan Torah in Ohel Moed, and there was a Matan Torah in Arvos Moav. That is to say, Hashem spoke to Moshe and gave him dinim in those three places, Sinai, Ohel Moed, and Arvos Moav. And the question has to be asked, and was asked by the Tanaim, as to why there were three different givings of the Torah. Why was there a Torah at Har Sinai, a Torah in Ohel Moed, and a Torah in Arvos Moav? What was the additions in each of these situations? So half of the Tanoim explain that the original giving of the Torah came as klolim. They came without all the details. And so therefore, they had Mamad Har Sinai, and then there was a repetition in Ohel Moed with more detail. And there was also certain times in Ohel Moed where the details weren't complete. And even there, there was a need for a further clarification, and therefore, that was repeated again, Chaseh B'Nishneis, B'Arvos Moav, in Arvos Moav, which is where the rest of the opportunity for the complete giving of the law was. And that is the position of many of the Tanoim, but it's clearly not the one that Rashi quotes over here. Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and he explains that every time there was a giving of a Torah at Har Sinai in Ohel Moed and in Arvos Moav, it was klaleim v'dictusayim, the general rules of the Torah, and then all of the specificities of each of the rules. And therefore, each one was done all three times. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, but it's not the opinion of all of the Tanoim and Amoraim. And Rashi quotes that opinion over here. Rav Shechter would always point out to us there must be a single uniqueness as to why Rabbi Akiva holds what he does. That's our job to figure out as we begin this week's parsha. Why does Rashi assume that Rabbi Akiva's position is the proper one? And also, if it is the proper one, why is it that the Torah has to be repeated three times over? Why did Hashem have to make sure that Moshe reviewed each of the rules three times? Some point out that that's an opportunity for us to understand the importance of Chazara, even when the issues don't seem halacha l'maisa. We're going to talk about Shemitah and Yovel when we're in the middle of the Midbar by Har Sinai. It seems like it's a crazy place to talk about these things. But then again, to many people, it seems sort of crazy to be studying Masechta Zvachim in New Jersey, but in the middle of the Galus. Sometimes we derive inspiration from the fact that things are not there. Sometimes we take the opportunity to realize that there's going to be Od Yeshu Zekenim Uzkenos Berchovos Yerushalayim, and maybe that's the intention that Rabbi Akiva wants to recognize and learn in the opportunity of being in Har Sinai, to keep your chin up, to recognize that there's something for tomorrow. Maybe that's what Rashi is hinting to by citing Rabbi Akiva over here. Later in the Parsha we are told, Lo sonu isha samiso. The Torah tells us, don't aggrieve your friend. And twice in the parasha, we actually find the command against sona. Once it's in reference to business, and the other time, we're told, lo sonu isha samiso v'yareisam elokecha. One time it's in Perek Chafei Pasuk Yedal, and later we see it in Perek Chafei Pasuk Yedzayin. And in the second time we see it, the reference is not just to playing up and cheating your friend in business. And the second time, it's the fact that a person is not supposed to shame another person or speak about him improperly. So the great Rav of the Old City, Hagona Rav Avigdor Nebenzahl Shalita, has pointed out that the common denominator in both commands is that the Torah is telling us not to be a source of aggravation for our fellow man. Instead, we're told, B'tzedek tishpot amisecha, we're supposed to judge people favorably. And that's our message in life. And Rav Nebenzahl added that the best thing, of course, is not to judge people at all. They're already judges. There is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim. So Rav Nebenzahl added that the best thing, of course, is not to judge, but if you need to judge, let's say, for instance, you're checking out a shidduch, you're looking to make a purchase, it may be in order, but ideally, a person should not become a judge at all. And then we're also told, as a lot later in the parsha, that among Am Yisrael, Beis Yisrael, lo sir de bo beferach, that we're not supposed to overwork our fellow man. And so Rabbeinu Yonah comes along and notes that this even applies to a fellow man, not just Losir Bo Beperach is not only a message in terms of dealing with a slave. It seems as if that a fellow Jew does not want to engage in a chesed, but will do so because of embarrassment, it can lead to a violation of Losir Bo Beperach. How far does that issue go? How far does that isser go? So the great Rav Nissen Karelitz Shalita points out that asking a person's children to do too much, not for chinuch purposes, just because you feel like it, that he holds in his Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, he says that that could be a violation of Losir Debo Beferach. The great Mashgiach, Rav Dan Segel Shalita, adds that if one does so at home, here, in terms of Bein Ish L'Ishta or Bein Isha L'Ish, where she just goes ahead and insists that you do things, she doesn't need it. She's just going ahead and demanding, or he doesn't need such and such from his wife, but he's demanding. So in those situations, there's a violation of Losir Debo Beferach, in addition to just the standard of Achzarius. One needs to consider the seriousness of putting on our fellow Jews unnecessarily. That could create a halachic crisis. Towards the end of the, later in the parasha, about 11 psukim later, we're told, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, b'nei Yisrael are slaves unto me, avodai heim, they are my servants. So it sounds like we're Hashem's avodim in regard to our requirement to be amelim b'Torah. Why must every Jew be amel b'Torah? Why do we all have to toil in Torah? Maybe we're supposed to have different jobs. Maybe that's not the way it works. So the late great Mir Rosh Hashiva Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zatzal explained that according to the Beis Halevi, when we were at Har Sinai, we were Mishubadim Beguf to Avinu Shevashamayim. We enslaved ourselves physically. A Shibud Aguf, when a person goes ahead and creates a Shibud, that means that all of our strengths have to be utilized for Avinu Shevashamayim. To be a slave with a full Shibud Aguf means that we don't have an independent thought process. Anything we are is an extension of the master. And so if that's the case, we can't be okay with just a partial effort on the master's tasks for us. We have a responsibility to be Amal B'Torah, not to have alternative processing when we're doing what we're doing. We have to be Amelim. Of course, as we say at every Siyam, Amelim, Behem Amelim, Anu Amelim, U'Mekabum Schar. When we do so, we will get Schar for our efforts as well. At the end of Parshas Bahar, we're told that Shabbosai Tishmoru veUmikdashi Tiro, that you should keep my Shabbos and you should fear my Mikdash. And what is this pasuk repeated after it appears in Parshas Kedoshim in literally the same form? So Moshe Feinstein noted that the Torah is telling us that Yira for a Mikdash, Mora Mikdash, and the idea of Kedusha Shabbos, they're really descriptions of Yira for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The repetition over here reminds us that our Yira needs to be strong even after we have Churban HaBayis. And even after Churban HaBayis, there's still a responsibility to have Yiras HaMikdash. Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, who passed this week, he preferred to note that Shabbos and Mikdash are really not a reference in this time to Shabbos and Mikdash. Shabbos is the seventh day of the week or the seventh year. And Mikdash, of course, could be V'kidash Demei Shnasa Chamishim Shana. And so what the Torah is telling us is, as Shabbosai Tishmo or Mikdashi Tiro, the Torah is summing it all up. We started in Shemitah, and we started with Yovel, and at the end of the parasha, we also point out that we can find Yiras Hashem in Shemitah and Yovel as well. And then we're told, Imechu Kosai Teilechu, and we're given a whole list of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises will happen if we follow the precepts of Hashem. And one of the things that Hashem promises is V'salachti b'sochechem v'yisi lachem le'ilukim v'atem tiuli la'am. I'll walk within your camp, And I will be a God to you, and you will be a nation unto me. And the great Gaon, Hagona, Rav Asher Weiss, Shalita, explains that there's a Mida Keneged Mida aspect of following Hashem within the aspect of Halicha. And he uses Svorno to make the comment over here. Rav Asher explains that based on the Svorno, that if our goal in life is to do the mitzvah, right, we just want to do the actions, we lose out on the experience that comes with the mitzvah observance. We lose out on the chance to walk with Hashem in every step of everything that we're doing. The reward for finding Hashem in every experience is that he'll be found there with the same impact that he's experienced in the Beis HaMikdash. That means that when we serve Hashem in that manner, we're granted the responsibilities and spiritual preparedness of a Kohen. And what is a Kohen? A Kohen is someone who impacts the world, right, by bringing Hashem's Kedusha to it. That's a tremendous opportunity. And one that a person has to take into his mindset when he's preparing himself to decide how he's going to proceed. We're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also, V'losigal nafshi eschem, my spirit won't reject you. And the author of the Chovos HaLavavos in Shaar HaBitachon learns that these brachos refer to the benefits of the world, not here, but in the Olam HaEmes. Now, how does L'Sigal Nafshi Eschem, right, that my spirit will not reject you, how is that going to be a reference to the Olam HaEmes? It should be a reference to the Olam HaZeh. So Matisyo Salomon Shlita, the Mashgiach and Likud, explains that the goal of a spiritual walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to the fact that we'll be close to Hashem. But in the newness of the relationship, sometimes, after a while, things go on to complacency. What the promise is all about is that we'll have the same long-term interest that we have in the immediate moment. We'll have that same attraction, we'll have that same love, and we'll be excited about the situation. That's a major bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he promises to us, im b'chukosai teilechu. Now, in the Haftorah, which we're going to read this Shabbos, which comes from Yirmiyahu, we're told, Baruch HaGever Sheiftach BaHashem Vayah Hashem Miftacho. We have a similar statement, Ara HaGever. We see the same idea, that a person who is who doesn't trust Hashem, and he instead, Vesam, he puts his trust into human beings. We see the same thing, that we find a double repetition. Baruch HaGever V'haya Arur V'sam. And why do we need the double repetition, both on the curse side and on the non-curse side? So the Malbim suggests that it's possible that one may have bitachon, but that also he will use some human help in bringing out its bitachon. Still, says the Malbim, the curse rests on only one who trusts in Hashem and makes a flesh of strength. Right? If you trust in human beings instead of Hashem, and you also go ahead with some, and you make the flesh the strength, that's where you will be cursed. It follows that Baruch HaGeber Sheyivtach B'Hashem Vaya Hashem Niftacho means that the full bracha only resides on one who not only says that he trusts in Hashem, and probably does, but he makes Hashem the security in a very direct way. But everyone in the middle is... it hangs in the difference between Baruch and Aror. Now, Rav Rivlin Shalita, the former Mashgiach in Keren B'Yavna, he used to add that there's a symbiotic relationship between Hashem and the Baal Bitachon. Such a person who has the Bitachon realizes that Hashem speaks to him through the trials and travails of life. In other words, when there's a Shuvu Eli, when you go through episodes in life and you realize you're returning to Hashem, then there's also an Ashuva Aleichem. When there's a Pisuli Pesach, there's also Vani Eftach Lochem. And in that notion, Bedersha Adam Rotza Leilich, right, Bob Molichen also. And it applies to Bitachon as well. If a person is Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach BaHashem, if a person makes the effort to go ahead and trust in Hashem, then V'haya Hashem Eftacho, then Hashem will be the security. Then all episodes of life that seem to be haphazard or don't make any sense, they become the greatest blessing. We are in an element of our lives where we have the opportunity to be boteach b'Hashem. With God's help, this Motzei Shabbos and Sunday, we're going to celebrate one of the greatest moments of Nisim in Jewish history, when we were able to declare through the darkness of Galus to see a smidgen of the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on His city, Yerushalayim. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us the ability not only to experience that day as a day of salvation of the past, but may we get together through the Shabbos and through the periods leading up to the period of Matan Torah to get to the opportunity to experience Shuvu Elai V'Shuva Aleichem, when we are able to achieve V'Sechazenu Einenu V'Shuvcha L'Tzion Berachamim, when we get the chance to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina return to our area, and not just to wait for it to happen, but to bring it about through our collective efforts. Shabbat Shalom to all.